I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord once again. Yes, and I want to remind all of us that we are already into the second month of the year. Right, in case you are not conscious of it, we are into the second month of the year, and very soon Easter will be here. And then we will have our Bible camp. Are we prepared to go to the Bible camp? Have we committed ourselves? And then there are, of course, your personal events in your life. Some are going to get married and so forth. So the Lord be with you and strengthen you. And some of you are going to set up new homes. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you and give you wisdom. So in the course of the year, we know that there are so many things that we need to do for the Lord. Now, how may we be able to do them well for Him? We must be filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit to do all things well for Him, for His glory. And a very welcome back to all those who have traveled. May the Lord bless you, and we trust that you had a very restful time in your travel. Yes, welcome back, all of you. Now, the subject this morning is one door and only one. Jesus, He is the one door, and He is the only door. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, I think lots of us here would have known that little Sunday school song which goes like this. One door and only one. I am on the inside on which, one door and only one, yet its sides are two. I am on the inside, on which side are you? Now, those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can, of course, say that we are on the inside of the door. But friends, if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, said for you, you are on the outside of this door. You are not a believer. You do not belong to His sheepfold. Now, when the Lord said, I am the door, in those days, His listeners would have understood Him very clearly because they were familiar with sheep farming. Now, when He talked about the door, He was actually referring to the door of the sheepfold. And His listeners would have understood what He was talking about. Now, the sheepfold in the Palestine region would be a space enclosed not by low fences but by high walls. And at night, the sheep would be herded into the sheepfold. Now, if the sheep were left outside of the sheepfold and were left out in the open, of course, they would be exposed to the wild animals. They could be attacked by wild animals and could be killed. The Lord says, I am the door. Now, if we want to be His sheep, we must go through this door to enter into His sheepfold. Now, let's be very clear. We must enter through this door. And in His sheepfold, we will enjoy privileges, blessings, safety, and security which He gives to us. Now, this morning I want to consider three things. First of all, the privileges of being on the inside of the door. Now, I will go at great length to talk about the privileges. Then I will talk about the qualities of this door. And finally, to whom this door is open. Now, the second two points will be very, very short points, but I will spend more time on the first point, which is the privileges of being on the inside of this door. Now, in a full employment situation, you can literally walk through the door of any company and you can get a job quite easily. And you can state your terms and you can bargain. And if you are not happy with the terms and the conditions of the work offered by the company, you can always walk out through the door of that company, and then you will go to another company to look for a job, and chances are you will be able to get another job that perhaps gives you a better deal. But today, that's not the case in many countries in the world, particularly in Europe. In a country like Greece, the employment rate is something like what? 20%, close to 20%, which means that out of 100 persons you meet, chances are 20% or 20 of them would be out of a job. Yes, and these 20 persons can go around knocking at the doors of companies, but the doors will be shut to them. And how privileged it is at this time for those people who are within the doors of the company, those who have a job during such hard times. They could be walking in and out through the door of this company, and because they belong to this company that they are in. And every month they will be receiving their monthly salary. They will be able to pay their housing mortgage. They will be able to pay their car loans. And they will be able to pay for their monthly bills and be able to maintain a certain level of standard of living, albeit a little lower than perhaps the standard of living that they were enjoying before the recession struck. But now, many are outside of the door of employment. Yes, they are outside of the door of employment. They have lost all the privileges that they had before. No job, no salary, no security. What misery they might be experiencing. But friends, this is only a physical misery, being out of a job during difficult times. It is a physical misery being outside of the door of employment. But already it feels so painful, isn't it true? A physical misery, and you can feel very painful if you're suffering this misery. But to be outside of this spiritual door that we were talking about earlier on in John chapter 10, my dear friends, is a far, 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 far greater kind of misery. People outside of this door might not feel it so much today. Or maybe they don't even feel it at all. But the true impact of being outside of this door will one day come home to them. And when it comes, it will be too late for them, because the opportunity for them to enter through this door will have been gone. No more chance of getting through this door. They can knock all they want, but they cannot get through this door. Jesus has shut them out because they refused to go in through this door while they were alive. Now, and this door will be shut not just for a time, but this door will be shut to them for all eternity. Now, I'd like us to consider the misery of those who are on the outside of this door. Now, those who are outside of this door are lost in sin and in darkness. Lost in sin and in darkness. They are separated from the one true living God. They do not have any spiritual life at all in them. And they are heading towards a Christless eternity. And one day, when the believers have entered into this heavenly city, you know where they will be? These people will be outside of that city. And then with whom will they have company? I'd like us to turn to Revelation 22. And this is the company that they will be keeping, being kept out of this door, being out of the heavenly city. Revelation 22:15. Revelation 22:15. I read for you. For without are dogs. Without means outside. Outside the city are dogs and sorcerers. Now the dogs here are not pet dogs. The dogs here are scavenger dogs. In other words, sinners, the scums of society. And sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Unbelievers, my dear friends, will be keeping company with these people, my dear friends. They will be outside of this heavenly city, while the believers, the sheep of the one true living God, will have gone into this city. And those outside of this city will be cast into the lake of fire, where they will be tormented day and night for all eternity. My dear friends, I'd like to say this to you, that these are not my words, but these are words from God's word of truth. Let us understand. And right now, while living on this earth, what is their status with regards to their relationship with God? What is their status? Friends, they are enemies of God, not friends of God, but enemies of God, enemies of the one true living God. And that's serious, my dear friends. Now, if you are an enemy of the one true living God, you are in a very, very terrible position, a most fearful position. Now, years ago, when I entered into Malaysia, I always felt somewhat uncomfortable and unwelcome because I'm a Singaporean. Yes, you see, when you arrive at the immigration, you have to queue up in a queue that is labeled, you know what? Aliens, yes. You'll be termed aliens in Malaysia if you are not a Malaysian. So you had to line up in that queue, and you always felt quite uncomfortable because you are termed an alien. Yes? Now, friends, if you are an alien, you already feel so uncomfortable. Now, what if you are an enemy of the country, an enemy of Malaysia? Do you dare to show up at the immigration? No, my dear friends, you showed up, you will be arrested right away. Now, you take this man called Thaksin Shinawatra. Thaksin Shinawatra was the Prime Minister of Thailand from the year 2001 to 2006. In the year 2006, he was toppled from power because the army staged a military coup against him. And he was deposed because he was accused of corruption, and he was accused of committing crimes against the state. So he's reckoned as an enemy of the state. So Shinawatra had to flee from the country, and today he's living in exile. Now the question is, do you think Shinawatra dares to go back to Thailand today? I don't think he dares to go back to Thailand today, because if he gets into Thailand today, he will be arrested because he is treated as an enemy of the country. Now, mind you, Shinawatra is a very powerful man. He's one of the richest men in the world. Very, very powerful. But friends, if he plays his power against the power of Thailand, that power is a lesser power than the power of Thailand. So when he gets into Thailand, he's going to be in trouble because he's an enemy of Thailand. Now, understand this too, friends. If you are outside, on the outside of this door that we have been talking about, the door Jesus, you have the most powerful enemy as your enemy. Yes, you have the one true living God as your enemy. You are in a terrible, terrible, terrible position. And actually, you have chosen to be his enemy. God has flung wide open this door of reconciliation for you to enter in. But you do not want to enter in. You prefer to be his enemy. What miserable state you are in. God, your Creator, is not your friend, but your enemy. But friends, once you've entered through this door, you will be reconciled to the one true living God. And that's one great privilege, my dear friends. Yes, you will become a friend of God. Yes, not only that, you will also become a son and a daughter of God. Not only will He forgive you of your sins, but He will also credit you with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be enjoying everlasting life. And not only will you be enjoying everlasting life, you will be enjoying abundant life. Life that is most joyful, life that is most meaningful. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says concerning this great privilege that you have if you were to enter through this door into the sheepfold. In John 10:10, let's look at John chapter 10. Let's stop at chapter 9, but look at we stop at verse 9 in chapter 10, but look at verse 10. I read for you this verse. The Lord says, "The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it what? More abundantly." That's the kind of life that we will be having, my dear friends, once we enter through this door, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, into His sheepfold. Our life will be meaningful, purposeful, joyful. It is abundant life. It is everlasting life. Now, look at another privilege on the inside of this door. Look at John chapter 10, verse 9. Let's go back one verse. The Lord says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. He shall be saved." Now, that is another privilege. He shall be saved. He shall enjoy safety, and he shall enjoy security. He shall be saved from sin and from hell. He shall be saved from the penalty of sin, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has already paid for his sins on the cross of Calvary. As far as God is concerned, this man is forgiven. God will not bring down his wrath. God will not bring down his punishment upon him, because the Lord Jesus Christ has borne this wrath and this punishment on his behalf. Yes, And the most wonderful thing is that he is not only forgiven, he is not only forgiven, but he stands righteous in the sight of God. In the sight of God, he is declared righteous. Can you imagine a sinner, a rebel against God, an enemy of God, now declared not only forgiven, but declared righteous? Yes, that's how a sinner will stand before the one true living God, if he has entered through this door into the pasture. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 says what? For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ has been put into our account, and our sins have been put into the account of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what it means. And today, the sinner who has entered into the sheepfold, to this door, the Lord Jesus Christ, can hold his head high before the Lord. Because when the one true living God looks at him, he looks not at the sinner, but he looks at the cloak of righteousness that is on him. Yes, he is no longer God's enemy, but he's God's friend. And better still, he has become a child of God. Because the word of God tells us this: but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now look at the next privilege that a sheep has that has entered through this door into the sheepfold. He is saved from the power of sin, or rather, he is being saved from the power of sin. Now it is true, a sinner, if he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he has entered through the door into the sheepfold, he has been saved from the penalty of his sin. That is true. But while he's still in his mortal body, he still has the remnant of the sinful nature in him. Now, he's no longer a servant of sin. Mind you, no longer a servant of sin. He doesn't serve sin anymore. But he's not completely free from the power of sin. Yes? Not that this power of sin has any hold over him, but it is just that this sin is a great annoyance to him. And he has to constantly fight against the power of this, power of his sin. Yes? Yeah, so now and then, he might lose his temper. He might succumb to the lust of the flesh. He might succumb to the lust of the eyes. He might succumb to the pride of life. And then, but he's not helpless, as we said. He is not helpless in regards to being delivered from the power of sin. Because Christ not only saves him from the penalty of his sin, but daily he's saving him from the power of sin. A person who has entered through this door has the privilege to call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save him from the power of his sin. He has that privilege. Just as, remember, Peter walking on the Sea of Galilee towards the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he started to sing. And what did he say? Lord, save me. And the Lord saved him. Likewise, my dear friends, today we can cry out to the Lord to save us from the power of our sins, and the Lord will save us. That is the privilege that we have as sheep of his pasture. Then those of us who have entered through the door into the sheepfold will one day enjoy salvation in full. They will be transformed. All of us who have entered into this sheepfold one day will be transformed when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. We shall put on a new body, a glorious body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our bodies will not be subject to sickness, aging, not subject to death, not subject to corruption. So my dear friends, would you not want to enjoy these privileges if you have not already started enjoying? You may enjoy these privileges. How, friends? By walking through this door, coming to Jesus, go to this door, enter into his pasture, and all these privileges will be yours. Now look at another great privilege that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have entered through this door into the pasture, friends, we can come boldly unto God's wonderful throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now today, if you entered through this door and you are in this pasture, I can say this to you Yes, I can say this to you, and I can say that these words of God apply to you in Hebrews 4:16. A very, very wonderful verse. Something which I just quoted, but I'd like us to read this verse. Alright? Hebrews 4:16. Let us read this verse together. Alright? What a wonderful privilege we have being sheep of His pasture. Hebrews 4:16. Let us read. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, if we belong to Him, if we have entered into the sheepfold, that's a privilege for us. We can come boldly unto God's wonderful throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need. But friends, if you are not a child of God, you do not have this privilege at all. You may think you have. You may think that when you pray, God will answer. God will never answer you. Now, how could He answer you if you are His enemy? No, He will not answer your prayers. And that's the truth, my dear friends. Now, as the sheep of the fold, you receive gracious help from God also. When you pray, God answers. You know that God's wonderful promises are for you. For example, He says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, is this promise for you? The answer is yes. You are a sheep of His sheepfold. This promise is for you. And He says to you in John 16:24, He says, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Is this promise for you? The answer is yes, it is for you because you are a sheep of His sheepfold. And then He gives you this assurance, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Is this assurance for you? The answer is yes, it is for you because you are His sheep. Then He also gives you this wonderful, wonderful assurance. Even if you were walking through the valley of the shadow of death, on your deathbed, He will be with you. And that's the assurance He gives to you. Why? Because you are a member of His sheepfold. But if you are not a member of His sheepfold, these promises are not yours. Let us understand this truth. Now, the sheep that enters to the sheepfold enters into the sheepfold will also find pasture. Look at John chapter 10 verse 9 again. Alright. This is another privilege. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He will find pasture. You see, the believer who is on the inside of this door will be well fed spiritually. In God's pasture, you will be fed spiritually, well fed. He will feed you with the knowledge of God, and He will show you special favors, friends. But if you are on the outside of this door, you really do not know God. At most, my dear friends, you may know God in a very general way. Yes, you might know that God is the Creator. You may know God, but you do not know Him in an intimate way. You do not have a special relationship with Him. You do not have a child-father relationship with Him. He does not know you in a personal way. You do not know Him in a personal way. But, friends, on the inside of this door, the believer knows God in a very, very personal way. He knows that God is his Heavenly Father. He can cry out to Him and call Him Abba Father. It means Papa. You know, He can call Him Father. He knows Him as the Heavenly Father who sent His only begotten Son to die for His sins. He knows that this God is the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God, the omnipresent God, and He is the sovereign God. And most of all, He knows that this God is able, and that this God is so wonderful, so powerful, so all-knowing, is very, very faithful to Him. He knows that. Because He is a sheep of the Heavenly Father. He is the sheep of the one true living God. Then, on the inside of this door, He will be fed with the favors from God. Yes, He knows that He doesn't deserve anything from the one true living God. But He knows that God still very, very graciously gives them to Him. He doesn't deserve them, But God gives them to him very graciously. And look at the favors he receives. He comes under the very special providential care of God. God looks at him. He's very special. And if anyone hurts us, it is like hurting the apple of God's eye. That's the kind of attention that he gives to us. Nothing can happen to us unless God permits them to happen to us. God has a very, very special regard for us because we are his children. And we are very, very comforted by this truth, which is given to us in Romans 8:31-32. Yes, look at 8:31-32. We will be very, very comforted by this truth, by this special favor that he shows to us. Romans 8:31-32. Alright? And this favor is not given to unbelievers, given only to sheep who have entered into the sheepfold. Alright? Let's read the two verses together. Romans 8:31-32. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Friends, this is a special, special favor God gives to us because we are his sheep. We receive his joy, we receive his peace, we receive his mercy, we receive faith from him, we receive the strength to love. And friends, we also receive the enjoyment of fellowship with him from the one true living God. What great blessings we have from the one true living God. Then on the inside of the door, the believer also finds fellowship with the saints, with fellow believers. He enjoys the company of fellow saints. And where there is genuine fellowship, I'm talking about genuine fellowship among the saints. Yes, when they meet one with another, they have one objective. You know, when fellow saints meet together, if they have genuine fellowship, they have one objective. And that one objective is to encourage one another in the Lord. Yes, if there is genuine fellowship. And they will be provoking one another to anger. What do you think? No, my dear friends, if there is genuine fellowship among believers, when they meet together, they will be provoking one another unto love and good works. Yes, as they see the day of the Lord fast approaching. Now, that's the kind of privilege that they have because they are believers in the Lord. So when they meet, they have good fellowship one with another. Now, outside of the door, you don't get this kind of encouragement. People are not going to encourage you in the Lord because they are not believers, they are not brothers and sisters in the Lord, they don't share your faith, they do not encourage you, and if they do, they'll be encouraging you in the way of the world. And no matter how good and how kind or how well-intentioned their advisors may be, friends, chances are they will be encouraging you to do things the way the world does them. For example, they will encourage you to do things. They could be very encouraging, very well intentioned, but they could be encouraging you to do things based on the morals of the world, based on the methods of the world. But within the fold, among believers, where there is genuine fellowship, people within the fellowship will be encouraging one another in the way of the Lord. We will all be encouraging one another in regards to how we may be able to please the Lord, how we may be able to glorify his holy name. Now, one of the joys of being on the inside of the door and be a part of the fold is to meet fellow believers in a foreign country. Now, you do not know this foreigner in another country, but when both of you meet and you know that you are believers and you belong to the same sheepfold, you know, you feel a very, very strange kind of wonderful kinship with that person. Do you have that kind of experience? Yes. You travel, you meet somebody, you do not know that person, but the moment you know that he's a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you feel a very, very warm kind of kinship with that person. Now, that was my experience years ago with my colleagues in the U.S. I never met them. You know, or I didn't meet them for years. We just communicated over the phone. At most, I knew them by their voices. And in those days, we didn't have emails like what we have today. So we communicated with telexes. You know telexes? I think you don't know what telexes are. They're so ancient. But that's how we communicated in those days. Then one day, I had the opportunities to go to the States. And I met these people whom I've been communicating with for years. And I discovered that they were believers. And they also discovered that I was a believer. You know, the moment we discovered that we were believers, you know, we were more than colleagues. We felt that we were fellow believers in the Lord, true brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so they would bring me to their homes, introduce me to their families, brought me to their churches. And one other thing, they bought me meals. Yes, it's a big thing, you know, for anyone, for an American to buy you a meal, just an Aussie here. It's a big thing to buy a person a meal. Yes, I didn't realize how big it was, because sometimes when they treated me, they would tell me this, this is not at company's expense, it's at my expense. They told me, but it didn't ring a bell. I didn't understand that. But today, of course, I understand. Yet, when they treated you out of their own pocket, it means they like you very, very much. And why did they like me? And why did I like them? They like me and I like them because we belong to the same sheepfold. That's the kind of privilege that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then John chapter 10 verse 9. Another privilege. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, this the privilege a person has in being within this door is that he can go in and out and find pasture. Now, what does this mean? Now, what do you mean when you say, I'm able to go in and out of that house? You know what that means? It means that that house is your base, possibly your home. That's where you can go in and out of that house. So this phrase, shall go in and out, suggests that you have a habitual communion, or you have this wonderful fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this fellowship is your base. You can go in and out of this and find pasture. The Lord has come into your heart. He dwells in you. He sups with you. How wonderful it is to know that He is in constant touch with us and we are in constant touch with Him. How wonderful it is for us to know this truth. Now, as for those who are already in the fold, I'm talking about to all of us here who are believers, let us value these privileges that we have in the Lord. Let us never wander from the fold. Outside of this fold, dangers abound. Let us never forget that we have this terrible enemy. Our enemy number one, Satan, who as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Understand this truth. Satan never ceases to tempt us. He presents the world to us in the most attractive manner. It could be an attractive job. It could be an attractive salary. It could be an attractive girlfriend, an attractive boyfriend who is not a believer, my dear friends. Or an attractive lifestyle that is non-Christian. All these look very, very good. But all these things are going to take you away from the Lord. Remember, outside of this fold, there is no safety, there is no security. You go for the world. You know what's the end result? The end result is bitterness of soul. And that is the end result. You remember the case of Lot, the nephew of Abraham. He started off this way. He pitched his tent toward the city of Sodom. Possibly his tent door was facing the city of Sodom. And he was very attracted by the bright lights of Sodom. And in time, he and his family, attracted by the bright lights of Sodom, went into the city of Sodom. But the word of God tells us that Lot was actually a believer. He was a righteous man. And so being a believer, he was very, very vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Vexed with the filthy behavior, the filthy conduct of those people in that city. And so he was tormented day and night by the corrupting influences of that wicked city over his family members. Then came the day of judgment. God rained down fire and brimstone upon these twin wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. God was very merciful. God spared Lot, his two daughters, and his wife. But his wife's heart was in the city of Sodom, and so she turned back and looked at that wicked city, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. So what did Job get, or what did Lot get? What he got was bitterness of soul. He lost everything. He lost his entire possessions, his possessions. Let us be warned, my dear friends, against straying from the fold. So these are the privileges that we have, my dear friends, in the one true living God, if we have entered through the door into his sheepfold. Wonderful, wonderful privileges. Now look at the qualities of this door. And that's my second point. It's going to be a short one. Now this door is a strong door. The enemies, Satan and his cohorts, can't ever break down this door. This door is the Almighty God himself, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember, he's the one with whom nothing is impossible. Now, some time ago, I watched a report on television about car thefts in this country. And did you know that Sydney is rated as the most car theft-prone city in the world? Yes. There was this young man who owned a beautiful sports car. And that sports car was a hot target for car thieves. Now, knowing that to be the case, what he did was he installed very, very strong steel shutters to keep his car. He thought that his car would be very, very secure with these very strong steel shutters. But then, that security was not good enough. The thieves broke down the shutters and took off with his car. So, my dear friends, no matter how strong the door is, no matter how strong a man-made door is, it is still breakable. But our Lord is an unbreakable door. Unbreakable means unbreakable. Yes, that door can withstand any kind of attack. Nothing and nothing can ram down this door. Trials and temptations can come our way, but so long as we are willing to hide ourselves behind this door, nothing and nothing can break down this door. We will be saved. Sometimes we fear that we might lose our salvation, don't we? Sometimes we feel that way, we might lose our salvation, but never let us fear, because this door is unbreakable. We've gone through this door into the sheepfold. This door is unbreakable. Our salvation is 100% sure. Or sometimes we might feel that our faith will fail, because our faith is so small, we feel that our faith might fail. But we never need to fear again, because this door is the unbreakable door. It is the strength of the door that really matters, not the strength of your faith. Your faith could be very small, but if your faith is in the very, very strong and powerful door, you never need fear. You are well protected. Next, let us see that this door is an open door. This door has been flung open by the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And today he welcomes us to enter through this door. His invitation to those who are outside of this door is this: come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This invitation is open to you. Why don't you come and enter through this door today if you are still outside of this door? But the door is shut to those with unbelief and who have hardness of heart. Understand this truth, my dear friends. The door is open if you are willing to come to him today. But if you are unwilling and you keep on being unwilling to come, one day, my dear friends, this door might be shut to you permanently for all eternity. And you can try all you want to do to try to knock the door and ask for the door to be open. It will not be open. What a great disappointment you will be experiencing. And you know, sometimes we can be very, very disappointed when we are doing an errand. We go to a certain place to do an errand only to find that the door of that office is shut. Or we go to a restaurant and we want to eat, only to find that the restaurant is closed, the door is shut. Have you ever had that kind of experience? Some time ago, my wife and I had a very disappointing experience. Yes, it was a great disappointment to us. We were going to Malaysia for a holiday. But like me, in those days, I always like to cut things very thin. So I didn't organize my time very well. I decided to send my car for servicing before going to the airport. So I drove my car to the mechanic. I said, I put my car here for the next few days. You service my car, and then a few days later, I'll come and collect the car. And I asked him to send me to the airport. And he was very kind. He decided to send me to the airport. So we drove frantically, you know, along the ECP, East Coast Parkway, to go to the airport. But when we arrived at the airport, when my wife and I arrived at the check-in counter, you know what the check-in counter clerk told us? The gate is closed. The gate is closed. What a disappointment it was for us to have missed that flight. But friends, that disappointment is nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing, compared to that disappointment one day when you come to this door and you find that the door is shut to you. Shut against you, not only for time, but for all eternity. You can cry out in desperation for the door to be opened, but your crying will be in vain. Why? Because while you were on this earth, when the opportunities were given to you to believe, you didn't want to seize the opportunity. Words like this were said to you, "Behold, today is the day of salvation." You didn't care. You said, "I still have tomorrow to make my decision to enter through this door." And you kept on postponing and postponing until it is too late for you. The door is permanently shut to you. What a great disappointment it will be to you. But some might say, but there are other doors. This is not the only door. But friends, understand this truth. There is only one door and only one. Jesus is the door. Jesus says, "I am the door." And he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And he says it again in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Only one door. Yes, and that is Jesus. My dear friends, understand this truth. But today this door is flung right open to you. If you would only enter in, you will be saved. Now the next question is, for whom is the door open? Look at John 10:7. John 10:7. For whom is the door open? Or to whom is the door open? 10:7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." So, my dear friends, the door is open for the sheep. It is for those whom he came to seek and to save. Yes, it is true, he came and to seek those whom he has chosen to be saved. Yes, he chose some to be saved and he came to save those. These are his sheep. But you look also at John 10:9. Yes, the Lord says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." The Lord says that the door is open to any man who would enter in. Now, this is a mystery we can never understand, all right, at least on this earth. Those whom he has chosen to be saved will be saved. They will enter through the door. But the door is also open to the whosoever who would want to enter through the door. Can you understand this truth? Can you reconcile these two truths? Virtually impossible on this earth. But maybe someday we will understand. But the question really for all of us, if you are still outside the door, is this. Will you not enter through this door into the sheepfold today? And that's the question that we must answer. So see the advantages of being inside, on the inside of the door. You enjoy safety. You enjoy security. You enjoy salvation. You're saved from darkness into its marvelous light. You're saved from the penalty of sin. You're being saved from the power of sin. One day you will be enjoying salvation to the fullest because you will see Jesus face to face and you shall be like him. You will be having a body like that of his. Then on the inside of the door, you find pasture. You will be well fed by the one true living God. God is your friend. God is no longer your enemy. Not only is he your friend, but he is also your heavenly Father. You are his child. And he shows you his very, very special providential care. He has a special regard for you. He grants you his joy. He grants you his peace. He grants you his mercy. He grants you his fellowship. And he gives you his very, very gracious help. When you call unto him, he said, I will answer and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Then understand that this door, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the strong door. No spiritual enemy of ours is able to break down this door. We are safe and secure so long as we hide ourselves behind this door. And this door is open. Today flung wide open. Open to those who will come to him. But it is shut against those who are filled with unbelief and who have hardness of heart and who refuse to come. He says in John 10:9, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The question today is, will you choose to enter through this door? Will you not come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior if you have not already done so? Don't wait. Don't delay. I do not know your hearts. I know you by your face. I know your names. I talk to you. I relate with you. But whether you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, only the Lord knows. Yes, and only you know also. So today is an opportunity to you, for you. Don't wait for another day to come and say, I have time yet. The Word of God says, behold, today is the day of salvation, not another day. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful privileges that you have given to us because we have entered through this door and have entered into your sheepfold. We thank you that this door is wide open to us, to those who are still outside your kingdom today. We pray that they may, those who are outside of your kingdom, may indeed come to you and enter through this door into your pasture. And Father, we thank you for all the wonderful privileges that we have in you. We thank you that you are our Heavenly Father and we are your children. We thank you that you have given to us your very, very special providential care. And we thank you that nothing can happen to us unless you allow them to happen to us. And we thank you that in you we have fellowship with the saints. And in you we have joy and peace. In you we have abundant life. Oh Lord, there are so many wonderful privileges that we have in you. We know that we can come boldly unto your throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help. Thank you, O Lord, for all these privileges. And as we think of them, Lord, may we be filled with thanksgiving. And may we praise you and glorify your holy name because of the privileges you have given us. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.